Hey, listen, nerds. It's time for another Two-Headed Nerd Answer of the Week podcast with Joe and Matt.
So smart, you start us off.
Hey, what's up, my beautiful babies? This is the Answer of the Week podcast. I don't know what number it is. We don't give a
You're screaming in my ears.
This is the best show on the internet. Do you know why?
Why?
Because we don't have to do any work. And we get drunk.
We don't get drunk. We get maybe tipsy.
We don't get drunk.
Yeah, we have like one drink. Sometimes two.
Tonight, only one drink. It's a Tuesday night. It was holiday weekend. We're running a little behind. Who cares? This show's still going to go up on Tuesday. On Thursday, you're not going to know any better.
154.
This is number 154.
There you
and
go.
You know how it works? Every week, I, Joe Patrick, take one of your suggestions. Sometimes it's my own suggestion. Sometimes it's Matt's. And we post the question of the week, and then you guys send in your answers to that question.
Where do we post the question?
On the THN forums.
There you go.
And then we get together and we rap about them.
Yeah.
It's called the answer of the week,
yeah.
And we're going to get right into it.
It's going to be awesome.
Our first call comes from our friend.
That's not how this works. First, we got to tell him what was the question.
Sorry.
You're getting way ahead of yourself.
I know. Yeah, you're right.
He's mad with power, folks.
I know. This week's question came from... I think this week's question did come from Anthony residing in Brooklyn, who is also our first caller. The question was, what title, despite your best intentions and no matter how bad it gets, can you just not quit? You can't give it up. You're too attached.
Right.
But before we get into it,
we've got a cocktail of the week.
It's a cocktail of the week. Matt, take it away.
Since we're talking about quitting, I decided to go with an old school kind of prohibition cocktail, right?
Yeah.
So Al Capone had this cocktail called the Southside Fizz. He was crazy about it. It was his thing. His boys, they ran the Southside. The booze came in, and they had like this really smooth gin. So that's what it got us. We have a little gin fizz with some mint, some simple syrup, and some lemon. We're going to name it after a famous comic book gangster. So we're going to call it the Kingpin.
The Hammerhead.
The Hammerhead? The Tombstone?
Too grim.
The Hammerhead.
The Hammerhead.
The Hammerhead.
Excelsior. You just can't stop it with the drinks that have plants in them, can you?
Oh. Light, sweet, nice on a hot summer's day. Ooh.
I like it.
The mint really comes out. Nice.
Tell them what's in it.
I just did.
You just said it was a gin fizz. You didn't tell them what was in it.
I said gin, simple syrup, lemon, and mint. Okay. Yeah, there you go. I told them.
This week, our first question comes from Anthony, residing in Brooklyn. Our first answer comes from Anthony for residing in Brooklyn. He also provided this week's question.
All right. He's a busy man. Take it away, Anthony.
Sup, nerds. Anthony currently residing in Brooklyn here. Thank you very much for picking my question. The title for me, Legion of Superheroes. I love the Legion. I picked up the Legion on a spinner rack in like 1985 and fell in love. And I've quit on a number of occasions. And then I always go back and get what I missed, because I love the Legion. Like, Wade and Kitson were like, eat it, Grandpa! And I was like, this is stupid. And then a few months down the line, I picked up everything I missed, because it's really good, and it's the Legion, and I have to read it. So, like, the Legion, right? Hey, it's impenetrable. Too many members. I did not have that experience. I fell in love. And in today's world? Wikipedia, bitches! Like, if you're somebody who loves fully realized fictional worlds, Legion of Superheroes. If you love the idea that people from diverse backgrounds can work together in harmony, Legion of Superheroes. If you are like me and you hate that trope where a new character shows up and they're the greatest and coolest character ever and they have to join the team, and then 6 months down the line, you're like, no, that character is stupid. Like, the Legion doesn't do that. They have membership tryouts. Like, Bishop would show up and be like, check it out, I can absorb and project energy, and I've got a killer gun. And they're like, nah, dude, you suck. Rejected. Awesome. The Legion would hold open elections for their leader, and you could see how all the members voted. I loved that as a kid, still do. And in fact, it was actually the fans who were voting for the leader. That's great. Like, in today's world, in the current rebirth, if DC gets Chuck Austin and Greg Land to do Legion, I'm going to get it.
Whoa.
And I'm going to read it, because long live the Legion. But DC, please don't get Chuck Austin and Greg Land.
Too late.
Legion. Oh, okay.
Too late.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
You called down the thunder. Well, now you've got it.
On the subject of crappy characters, two words. Bouncing boy.
Hey.
Okay. Right.
He's got his uses.
Before we start talking smack about,
he's got his uses.
Bishop, let's talk about bouncing boy for a second. You're a huge Legion nerd. I never much cared for the Legion. I read some Legion stuff that I've liked. I admit that. I'm not saying it's all terrible. It just never really did it for me.
Dude, I am a lifetime fan of the Legion of Superheroes.
What are you doing over there?
It's not important.
Okay, good. Then stop doing
I'm
it.
I'm not playing a game. That's
then,
definitely...
Then stop doing
I'm
it.
I'm not playing a game.
Good
I promise.
God.
I'm not playing
Let's
a game.
Pay attention.
If you must know, I am hooking up my Instagram with a new post.
Cool.
You can go to my Instagram and follow my arts.
Yeah, sounds great. We can do that later. The Legion.
I love them.
Okay.
It's one of the first comic books I ever read. I've talked about it on the show 1,000 times.
Extensively.
They used to put out these digest size reprint books called Blue Ribbon Digest. One of them, and they sold them at like supermarkets and stuff.
Sure.
One of them was Legion of Superheroes. Multiples. There were several Legion issues of Blue Ribbon Digest. And, they were given to me at a very, very, very young age.
Sure.
And that was it for me. And yeah, it was a nice span of stories from the 50s all the way up to the present day, which would have been like the late 70s at that period, late 70s, very early 80s. And yeah, I was hooked from there.
You're so old. It's gross.
Yeah, I know.
Gross.
I am old.
Let's go to another. Well, actually, he's kind of a youngster. Let's go to D. It was his question, right? Or no, D had the question this week.
D has the upcoming
D
question.
D has the latest question.
Hey, guys. This is D calling in. I don't usually call into the show. Answering the question of the week. And the answer is going to be, honestly, I got nothing. I used to have loyalties for Superman and Batman, Spider-Man, all the different comic books. But they kind of broke my heart over the years. So I guess that's my answer. I guess I have no loyalties towards anything. There's nothing that keeps my interest for a long period of time. Because even the indie stuff, like Wicked and Divine, Why the Last Man, Southern Bastards, those end or they just stop going sometimes. But yeah. Sorry I didn't call for the past two times. I apologize for that. I'll try to do better next time. You know, here's Tony D. Come back. And Brian Domingos, I hope we're cool, man. But there's no hard feelings. You know, the forums are just the forums. I hope we're both still cool, bud. Take it easy, guys.
Domingos is hard. He can handle it.
Look,
He's tough.
That's the thing about the forums is that...
No, it's like a hockey game.
It's a safe place.
It's
you
like
guys
a hockey game.
You have disagreements.
You knock the other guy down, and then after the game, you know, you buy him a beer and everything's fine. You're just doing your thing.
Yeah,
I get it.
It's all Jesus, man.
That's what it's for. We rough each other up, man. If we can't handle it, stay out of the forums, you big babies. Right?
Yeah. So D's answer is basically...
Well, the other half of the question that I added was, if you did quit, what was it that broke you? I wanted to hear him go into that. What broke you? You know, I mean, just like pick one. Okay, Batman. Used to love it. What broke you? You know?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, this isn't the first time D has expressed...
extreme dissatisfaction.
Yeah, like the displeasure with the direction that comics that he used to love have taken. And I get that. And good for him for saying, you know what? Enough is enough.
Yeah, he's not alone. Lots of people do. Happens every day.
D, we love you. Stony D, can't wait to hear you again.
Yeah, I want to hear Stony D.
Hey, man.
Let's see. We've got some orange juice, purple stuff, Stony D.
Stony D.
Stony D, bro. We've got an email here from our buddy, the Orca, and all it says in parentheses is, yes, that is, in all caps, a Brokeback reference.
Because the title of his email is, I wish I knew how to quit you, which we knew what we were getting into
when we
worded the question that
Orca
way.
Here. Great question from Anthony. My boring answer would be G.I. Joe. Hasn't been good in years, but I can't stop buying them. But I'm going to turn this question on its head a bit. Rather than a title that I can't quit, I'm going to fess up to a bad habit I got into and can't seem to kick. No, not crank. As promised, I've stuck to my sobriety 6 whole days now. Nah, I'm talking about number one issues.
Oh.
No matter what it is, if you slap a big old number one on there, this chump's going to buy it. and this sucks for a multitude of reasons. First, they're rarely any good. Second, I buy titles I don't really want to read, but then I feel obligated to. If it's halfway decent, I usually buy number two and number three to give it a proper chance. And finally, probably most concerning, I perpetuate the reboot problem that's plaguing the industry. Marvel, DC, even Image in its own way, crank out so many number ones. And this dumb shit buys them all. I know I'm not alone, but I'm contributing. So here and now, I'm declaring that I will no longer buy number ones unless I'm into the writer, into the artist, into the genre, or if I was caught up on the previous volume. Look, I love Nightwing, but why did I buy number one and Rebirth number one when I still have 8 issues of Grayson I haven't gotten to? No more. Adding discipline in a big way here. I'll let you know how it all turns out. Kiss, kiss, nerds.
Well, here's the thing. In the case of Nightwing and Grayson, both were great titles. And you know you like that writer, and you know you like the character, and you're going to read it, and you're going to like it. That's fine. You don't have to buy every number one.
Yeah, but that's what he's saying.
I know.
He's trying to break that cycle.
I think Nightwing's a bad example, is what I'm saying. Because it is really good, and he's going
to
enjoy it.
It's not a bad example if you're the sort of reader that likes to read a character's adventures in chronological order.
Well, sure, but, you know, he's going to get there. He'll read them. I'm just saying. There's better examples of things you probably don't need to buy number ones. That's all I'm saying. Nightwing's exceptional. I just
caught
up.
This is not a forum for you to criticize people's answers.
I'm not. I'm just saying.
They're sharing. They're opening their hearts to you.
I just caught up on Seeley's Nightwing. It's fantastic. It's so good.
But he's behind on the previous volume.
Sure.
And he's not the sort of reader to jump ahead.
So
he's making a stand.
Well, but if you wait too long, it could be gone.
That's why there are trades.
Yeah. You know, but not all of us want to collect stupid trades. So.
Not all of us are really worried about collecting at all.
I've included my answer to the most recent question of the week. I think it's a new guy. Adam Knox?
Yeah, I think it... Well, no, this is... Maybe I recognize him from the forums.
Okay. I don't know if we've had Adam or not. Let's hear his voice. Let's find out.
Hey nerds, ABK from Bozo here with my answer to the question of the week.
New guy.
Now I'm a sucker for weird stories. So when I read the solicitation for J. Michael Straczynski's Dream Police back in 2014, I was on board. The first issue was fantastic. It was this bizarre dragnet story that hit all the notes of a world hiding just behind our world story should hit. The art was okay most of the time, and when it did wander into garbage, it didn't grate on me that bad because the story was such a blast. Then, the release schedule shenanigans began, with gaps between issues hitting absurd times. I'm talking 4 months. I'd swear that every issue that would unexpectedly appear in my pull box would be the last. Then I'd get home, sit down, pour myself a glass of dad juice, and get sucked right back into the story. Month after month, this happened, and month after month, I'd sit down and have a blast. I kept asking myself, Bozo, are you having enough fun with this book to get the next one? I was ashamed, but I held on to that book like grim death. Thankfully, this vicious cycle has been broken. Only, though, by the announcement that the series finale is coming out next month and J. Michael Straczynski is retiring from comics altogether. What do you think, nerds? All it took was a legend to walk away from the genre to make me drop a book. Does that mean I have a problem? Excelsior!
I didn't even know Dream Police was still a thing.
It wasn't until it suddenly was.
Good God. Hasn't he pulled this before?
No. He's like come out and said, I'm done with comics.
I don't miss him. I'm not going to miss him. I'm sorry. That guy.
That's not about that. This isn't about that because Bozo is a fan.
Welcome aboard, Bozo.
Welcome aboard, Bozo.
I love it. I just got to call him Bozo.
Yeah. The Dream Police. I have to say, I wasn't into it.
I didn't. That was one of those.
It was an icon book when it first launched at Marvel.
Okay.
In the mid-2000s, we were both still at Krypton at the time.
Jesus.
And a smattering of issues came, and then it was just gone.
He's famous for this, though. He's pulled the shit so many times.
You betcha. He has many times.
So many times. I thought he already retired. I had no idea. I just figured he was gone.
Well, don't you remember? He had that whole imprint at Image, that Joe's Comics imprint.
For like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And nothing came of it. I think
lots of books came out. There were several books that came out.
Yeah, but would we get two or three issues of each? And that
No. They ran, we just didn't read them.
Oh.
Yeah, Sidekick with Tom Mandrake on the art. That was one of those books that lasted like a year.
Did it make it to issue six?
It lasted a year.
Doesn't mean it made it to issue six.
Yeah, I think they
Dream Police has lasted like 15 years.
I think it came out monthly, yeah.
Editor's note. Sidekick, not kicks plural. Ended with issue 12 in December of 2015.
But yeah, I mean, Straczynski is the sort of writer that has burned me in the past.
He's burned all the
bridges. When he first came on the scene, I was like, yeah, this guy's great. He's great.
He was great.
And then he started doing weird stuff with Spider-Man. And at first I was like, it's great.
Yeah.
And then it was violently not great.
Yeah.
But his creator-owned stuff, like Midnight Nation and Rising Stars, I loved until those had their problems. Those problems were with the publisher. They were not necessarily his fault.
Yeah, there was all kinds of weird stuff.
But
people didn't get paid, and people got upset. And
like I said, he's got more misses than hits.
Yeah.
And
I'm done with him.
I totally appreciate that answer. I'm not wishing that the dude walks away from the industry or whatever, but I don't know.
Finish what you started, jackass. That's all I'm saying. Hey. Bozo, welcome aboard.
Again, I made fun of you for bashing on the Orca, and here I am bashing on Bozo's pick.
This is what we do here.
Well, we're not supposed to bash on their picks. We're supposed to we're supposed to like engage with their state of mind.
Here's a noise that'll cheer us up.
Hey, Joe and Matt, it's Kiefer from GrogsPodcast.com emailing in with my answer to the question of the week. So, what is my Brokeback Mountain, Why Can't I Quit You comic? Really? It's any nostalgia comic, but I'll narrow that down. I think I'm going to have to go with Spider-Man 2099. I mean, I love the original run, and as a rule, I love Peter David. I mean, I put him on my comics Mount Rushmore, but I can't help but think that Miguel O'Hara is maybe better in a guest spot now. And yet I can't seem to erase it from my pull list. I think that it's out of devotion to Peter David and the character that I just keep coming back. But I think that maybe a lot of it is the nostalgia and I should just let it go. But why can't I quit you? That's all I got, guys. Have a great week.
The thing is that from everybody that I've talked to that still reads those books, they're pretty good.
It's pretty good. I'm reading it. It's pretty good.
Interest level has dipped from my teen years.
Yeah. And I will say it is far from a must read. You know, like I read it and I was like, that was nice. You know, like it's not bad. It's not bad at all. But I'm with him.
But
like,
it's the sort of thing where like in this world where people are making hard choices about what to keep on their profile and what to ditch.
Spider-Man 2099 book? Probably not.
Spider-Man 2099 is the sort of book to me that would be like the first on the chopping block.
I think Miguel O'Hara, like he said, is much more compelling when he appears in Amazing Spider-Man. When he's part of a storyline.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
I think it was really cool when he popped back up as part of like the Spider-Verse.
Yeah. Sort of thing.
That was great. Yeah. I loved him there. And I didn't even like his 4-issue series was really good too, but
no, it was ongoing.
Didn't it start with 4 issues and then it became
ongoing? No, it was an ongoing and then they relaunched it with Marvel Now.
That's right.
Yeah. And then they relaunched it. They're going to relaunch it again.
And I'm reading it. I keep reading it.
I haven't been reading it.
It's good. It's not must read stuff. I'll say that. Yeah. And if I were buying it, yeah, I'd probably go. So I'm kind of with you there. I love Spidey 2099. I get it. I think we might have another new. No, Paul Tatro. We know this guy. We know Paul.
Do we?
Yeah. He's got like a, he's got like a little drawn picture of him.
All right. I recognized his name from Twitter.
Maybe.
Yeah. The last time he called, I recognized his face from Twitter.
Salutations, nerds. This is Paul, the Paul TATRO on the Twitter. So what comic can't I quit? Well, like all comics throughout the years, there are ups and downs. And I'd like to think the reason someone sticks with the titles is because there's something that speaks to them in a fundamental way, which manifests into intense loyalty. So for me, that title that I will never quit is the Fantastic Four.
Despite the modern stigma that the title has as being uncool, I personally love the adventure, the exploration of the unknown, the aspect of strong family bonds, and I love the different dimensions and crazy planets, and yeah, for every appearance of Galactus and Silver Surfer we get, we also get appearances by like Mole Man and the Infant Terrible. But for me, that's the best part, the whole weirdness of it. And it doesn't hurt that they have the greatest villain of all time in Dr. Doom.
Oh, so yeah.
After saying all this, I guess the real question for me is why, if I'm not quitting the FF, why is Marvel quitting on me? I've got my $3.99 just waiting to plunk down on an FF relaunch. And I get that Marvel doesn't want to put their creative behind a property that they don't have the TV movie rights for. But for me, the FF is the cornerstone of the Marvel Universe.
You're goddamn right it is.
It needs to be represented as such. Are they uncool? Yeah, probably. But I'm not quitting them. Later, nerds.
I would argue they're still cool. I would argue they're still totally cool. It just sucks. And I hate when business and, you know, intellectual property gets in the way of comics. That sucks, man.
Right. That kind of peek behind the curtain to the business, the nuts and bolts of it, there's something to be said for the time before the internet.
Yeah, well,
where we could just enjoy these books.
I mean, we could still have heard about something like this without.
Yes, but it was way harder. You know, there weren't like gossip sites devoted to it. There weren't there wasn't Twitter and message boards.
I think more importantly, there weren't movies that were making this amount of money that were this important. Like, this was pre Batman, basically the Dark Knight, you know, Dark Knight Batman stuff, which they went, oh my God, we can make billions of dollars on this. So everyone's just going to hold on to properties for as long as they can, just in case.
Yeah.
And Fox even danced around not too long ago saying like, oh, we'd be willing to entertain the idea of a crossover with the Marvel U, but we want to keep it our guys and we want to keep it close to the other two movies because they want to make money on the DVDs or some shit. And Marvel was like, eat it. No. Those movies, it's terrible. The movie was terrible. And not even just like, this is a bad movie, it's bad acting. Like, it didn't make sense. The plot was strung together
at best.
Well,
it's because it was two plots stitched together.
Oh, God. Yeah, it was just horrible.
There were a number of problems with that movie.
And you took The Thing, who should have been the coolest thing in the world on screen, and just ruined it. Ruined it. He looked stupid. It's unforgivable. It's unforgivable.
That's going a little far.
They should wrench it away from them. It just sucks. I hate it when business gets in the way of great comics, and there's plenty of good stories that can still be told. Not too long ago, we had the Hickman FF, and I would argue he made the Fantastic Four cool again. He made it cool again.
I've always loved the Fantastic Four, even when they were quote-unquote uncool, so FF should be the cornerstone of Marvel. They're the first family.
They're the first family.
They're the flagship book.
Yes.
It should be the Fantastic Four leading the charge, not the Avengers, not Iron Man.
No.
Not even Spider-Man.
No.
It was the first book in the modern Marvel Universe, and it needs to be the best book, or
yes,
the book that sets the stage.
Right.
And, yeah, they've just, like, they've let politics and money interfere with storytelling, which is not a new problem in corporate comics.
No, nope, so it's not.
It just sucks that it's hitting things that are so beloved.
And what really sucks is they're keeping the X-Men around because they make money on X-Men sales, but all those X-Books, pretty weak.
Mediocre, yeah.
They're not really pushing anything big. There's nothing really happening.
Oh, no, there's a big event coming up, and nobody, like, I don't know anyone that gives a
X-Men versus Inhumans?
There was a...
Who cares?
There was that whole Apocalypse Wars thing, which was their big X event. I didn't hear anybody talking about it.
No. We didn't even read any of them.
No.
We didn't even review any of them on the show because it wasn't news.
I haven't.
No one cared.
I haven't read any of those X-Books since they first launched.
Yeah. I've picked up a couple here and there. It just seems like they're treading water.
Yep.
Because they know they can make money off of them, and they have trouble selling Fantastic Four, so we don't mind sitting on it.
Yeah. This is a problem I think that's going on with a lot of Marvel books right now. We talked about it. I think we mentioned it on the show a couple weeks back about how I just don't care about the Marvel Universe right now. I don't really care what's going on. I'm not invested in what's going on. There are individual books. It's sort of like when the New 52 was going on.
Sort of.
Where, like, God, the New 52 is so bad. But Batman's great.
Yeah, and Grayson was great.
Dial H is great.
You know, it almost seems like they've become so concerned with their intellectual properties that they're forgetting about the comics. You know what I mean? Like they're saying, all right, and it's not like they're forcing this stuff into the comics like they were for a little bit there, but it's just like it's kind of taken a back seat. Where it's just like we're so concerned with our TV shows and our movies and whatnot.
Right, but it's different. It's different divisions in the. It's a huge conglomerate.
Of course. Like, of course.
People at Marvel Studios aren't taking time out of their busy day to plot the next year's worth of FF comics.
No, I mean, definitely not.
But so I don't really buy that.
I do think they are plucking a lot of those guys out of there, though, and throwing a big check at them. Like, oh, I don't have to do this monthly crap anymore? Like, Matt Fraction made his money, left. Got a huge chunk of cash for Thor the Dark World.
We don't know that.
Yeah, he was credited as a writer and stuff. He got paid. Nah. And that probably enabled him to go write, you know, Sex Criminals, which is great. I'm happy for him. I'm glad he's doing well. I'm glad he made money. I don't know why Bendis keeps fighting it other than he just can't help it. You know, like he's Brian Michael Bendis. He has to write 6 books a month, you know.
Because he's made
every month.
He's made his Marvel.
Yeah. And there is still good stuff. Iron Man's still great. Spider-Man's still great.
This conversation's gone on for way too long.
But you're
depressing.
Right. The greater Marvel U right now, I don't know. It just, maybe it is too much business and not enough comics. I don't know. It's sad. I'm sorry that happened to you, Paul. I feel for you, brother. I want my FF back, too. Moving right along. It's our favorite Bachelor. Not just our favorite. It's the only THN Bachelor. All the rest of you guys are married.
Hey, Joe. Hey, Matt. It's your favorite THN Bachelor, Chris Bockelder here. And I've got Helena Bertinelli with me. We're about to have a nice little night on the town, but... You know, before her and I get
some
too crazy,
sexcapade with him.
I want to take the time to call you and tell you about things I just can't quit, much like she can't seem to quit killing people and just shooting them with her crossbow. Honey, seriously, you got to stop. Anyway, I couldn't seem to quit the Blue Beetle book when it was running with the New 52. I loved the 2006 to 2009 series. And I had such high hopes for the New 52 Blue Beetle. But then they moved him from El Paso to New York and then into outer space. And they really, they f***ed up the reach. They f***ed up the friendly dynamic. They put in boner jokes. They just didn't stay consistent. And then they preached a little bit about Jesus. Then I don't know.
They did?
Thankfully, it was mercy killed by DC shortly.
Jesus Christo.
I don't know, after the Zero issue or just a few issues after that, it was for the best. I still haven't had a chance to read Rebirth, but seeing that Tony Bedard's not on it, I'm pretty excited about that.
No,
I don't know
good.
If he's a hack or what it is. I really hope it's good, especially with Ted Kord on the book as well. Now, if you guys will excuse me, I got to show Huntress a crossbow of my own, too. You guys have a good one, all right?
Whoa.
Thanks for everything.
That's not even... That's a weird...
That's not a euphemism,
yeah,
Chris.
I don't know what you did there. Blue Beetle, the Rebirth one, I thought was fine. I didn't think it was great.
It was good.
I thought it was fun.
It was a good comic. Not everything has to be, oh my God, great! It was a good, fun book.
I get you.
Much better than what was before.
It is a market improvement. I will agree with that.
And, like, I read and loved the Blue Beetle series that spun out of Infinite Crisis. They were written by... John Rogers, I believe, is the writer's name. He's a TV writer. He had a lot going on with the Blue Beetle, and Raphael Albuquerque was the artist.
We'll have to have...
A young Raphael Albuquerque.
We'll have to have Alec check in on that one.
It's John Rogers. He created the show Leverage.
Okay.
And he
also that's right.
wrote the Blue
that.
Beetle.
Yes.
And that was a really good book.
Leverage was good, too.
I love Leverage. It's Leverage a great show. Fun. Yeah, it's a fun, you know, goofy detective.
Yeah, it was good.
Not detective,
con
but like
men.
Caper.
They were con men.
They're heists.
They were con men that conned con men.
Yeah, I love it. But yeah, and I thought that the Blue Beetle Rebirth special, despite my misgivings, that it was written by Keith Giffen, who is not the first choice I'd make when writing teen characters.
Yeah, I kind of wish, and it's nothing against Keith Giffen. I love Keith Giffen. I just kind of wish there would have been somebody a little more fresh on it.
But I thought he did a good job.
He did a good enough job.
I think I'm excited for the number one. I thought the art was great. Scott Collins kind of returning to his Flash heyday.
Yeah.
Whatever. Left that weird experimental phase behind that he was doing in those later JSA issues.
I did not love that.
But yeah, I think you're going to like it, Chris. Spoilers. I know you did because you've read it by now.
I'm sure. I'm sure you have. We're traveling through time here. Let's go to the Ket Nerd himself.
Hey, Joe, Matt, Ket Nerd here. Well, guys, this week I'm genuinely stumped. The truth is, in 2016, there is no title I can't quit. Sometimes it's because of a change in the creative team or direction of a book, and sometimes it's a change in the depth of my money bin. In any case, quitting titles featuring favorite characters is something I got over a while ago. But this question made me think back to before I had the crazy epiphany that if I'm not enjoying a book, I probably shouldn't buy it. Let's talk about Thor. I came into the book at the end of Simonson's run. I quickly dived into Jack Kirby from there. So the bar was high, and I was into this stuff, like Little Girl and Adventures of Babysitting into it. Unfortunately, the creative team following Simonson, Tom DeFalco and Ron Frenz, despite a few charming tales, like
I
love
that
when Thor broke Mjolnir busting into the head of a celestial, that was pretty cool. But all in all, they just were not on par with Simonson's stuff. But
I mean, that's true.
I stuck through Eric Masterson. I stuck through goddamn Thunderstrike and the God Squad. I stuck through that awesome costume with big yellow squares on it. And then the equally stupid bondage strap costume. Things got a little bit better. We had a sprinkling of John Romita Jr. in there, and that was nice.
Warren
but
Ellis wrote it.
Run yep. ran out of steam pretty quick. I started to realize that I wasn't enjoying half the super books I was buying. I was keeping up with them out of some sense of obligation, even when I wasn't enjoying the stories or the art. And that's a bad way to engage with a medium you love. A wise cult leader once said, "Things you own end up owning you." When it came to my love of comics, I didn't want to feel consumer obligation. I wanted excitement and skillful storytelling. So I shifted my focus to following creators, not the characters or the universes. Started reading more and more books outside the superhero bubble, where it turns out lots of great stories live. Anyways, guys, that's my two cents. If you're not enjoying what you're reading, drop it. Spend your dollars wisely on the books and creators that really deserve it.
Smart guy. Jim Kettnerd, smart guy.
I love that tune that he was playing in his call.
What was it?
I don't know.
I can't remember.
He doesn't say.
Yeah, I can't remember what that was. I've heard it. I can't remember what it was. Smart guy.
Yes, and I 100% agree.
These books don't own us. We own them.
Though I think that there is an argument that can be made. Not an argument, like, and there's no justification needed. If you are a collector, by all means, collect it.
Yeah, I mean, however you want to do it, sure.
I meant to mention this during the FF talk. We have a friend named Jack who is considerably older. He's in his late 40s. And he has been reading the Fantastic Four since he was a boy.
Yeah.
And he may even be in his 50s.
I think Jack is probably closer to 50 than 40.
Yeah. Well, that's why I said late 40s. But yes.
I can't do that, man.
Right. And he has a complete run of Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
No joke. One through current. And he hates it.
Yeah.
Like, currently hates it.
Yeah, it's a monster that lives in his closet.
He hasn't enjoyed it with regularity in years, maybe since Mark Waid and Mike Waringo did it.
Oh,
what a good run that is.
So good.
And yeah, but he collects FF. It's the one book he definitely
so if it
gets
comes out,
every time.
He has to buy it.
And he gets other books, like he gets Hellboy. Yeah. He buys books that he enjoys.
Sure.
But FF is a labor of love and he collects it. And if that's the sort of fan that you are, then by all means do it.
It's not healthy, but, you know, if that's what you got to do.
Look, people collect all sorts of things. People collect stamps. People collect shot glasses,
yeah,
whatever.
But they're not collecting stamps because they hate it.
Right, you know? But comics offer something
like,
every
time they put out a goddamn Elvis stamp.
That's true, but stamps also offer no entertainment. The entertainment comics.
Sorry out to all our stamp fan listeners out there. I apologize.
The entertainment that you get from comics is a value add. That's...
I suppose, but you know, who knows? Collecting is collecting, man. It is what it is. Some people don't even read them, you know?
Yeah, it's true. Jack, though, he reads them.
Puts it away.
He reads them.
Who knows?
He's like, well, oh well.
What do they call for your stamp collector? What's it called? It's a really weird name. The hobby.
I don't know.
I don't know.
A flautist.
I don't think that's it.
It's not flautist. That's a flute player.
A fallaciest. I think it's something like that.
But anyway... Yeah, if you are not like a diehard collector of said book, drop it when you start to wane in your enjoyment of it. You don't have to keep going out of some misguided sense of obligation. I used to be the sort of reader that
philatelist.
Yeah, it's not philatelist, I'm pretty sure.
A philatelist. There you go. Sorry to all our philatelist listeners that Joe pissed off.
I used to be the sort of collector and reader that operated under the philosophy that, like, well, yeah, it's not good now, but I've been collecting Spider-Man for so long.
Right.
And these things happen in cycles. There'll be a new creator eventually.
No, I used to do it too. X-books.
And I did it all through the 90s.
I did it with X-books. Yeah.
And I mean, yeah, I had a pretty sweet X-Men, Spider-Man run for a while, but where did that get me? I gave all my comics away.
What, are you going to get all of them? What are you going to do?
Right.
You know?
You know, I read for enjoyment.
Right.
Collect for enjoyment.
Right.
Don't do it out of obligation.
Right. Let's go. The Thunder from Down Under. We haven't heard from Cleon in a while. I miss this guy. I'm so glad he stayed
with us. Well, we did take a 2-month break.
That's true. It's true.
G'day, THN. It's the Thunder from Down Under emailing in for the question of the week. Now, when you guys said this question, I knew what my answer was straight away. And, you know, to give a bit of background to how I, you know, drop series or pick them up, I need to not enjoy a series for 3 issues for me to go, yep, you know what, I'm not going to give that a shot anymore. So, you know, I'm usually quite tough. But the one series that, no matter what, I've still not been able to stop because, one, this character is my favorite comic book character. He's the, you know, a typical superhero archetype in my mind and was the first comic book character that I'd read off as a child. But even though the series right now isn't something that I'm really into and I feel is a book that really needs to have some fresh creative change, I'm still not able to stop it just because of my connection to this character. That book is The Amazing Spider-Man. And, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, I'm a Dan Slott hater or, you know, I just hate modern Spider-Man comics. I've loved it for a really long time. I love the Superior run. But I think The Amazing Spider-Man post-Superior has just lacked heart. It's lacked Peter Parker. I think Dan just needs to, I think, move on. And we really need some fresh blood on that book. I really don't like the idea of Peter Parker CEO... fucking glowing spider. I mean, come on, man. Like, seriously, let's go back to telling a Peter Parker story where he's struggling just being a normal guy, but also being Spider-Man. All right. Cheers, folks. Really glad to hear you guys back on my podcast, Earballs. Thank you.
Gross.
Yeah.
Earballs.
I 100%.
That's what they call them in Australia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to say that I 100% agree with Cleon. I have not.
You know what?
I have not.
I don't. I still really like Amazing Spider-Man.
And that's fine. Like, it's okay if you like it.
I've been having a lot of fun with it.
But
that's one of the few
for me
Marvel books that I'm like, that and Iron Man are playing off each other really well right now. I'm loving it.
I sort of feel like ever since Peter came back, that book has been treading water, even though different things have been happening. Like, CEO, that's a different twist.
There's been some pretty big stuff.
Have there?
Yes.
Like,
huge
what?
Stuff. Like, we just talked about the cross time cape or whatever. I mean, like, they did all that crap.
That was
and, like,
before. That was Superior Spider-Man and
No, that was after. That just happened not too long ago.
Spider-Verse?
Yeah.
That happened before the relaunch.
Yeah, I agree, before the relaunch, but that was after Superior Spider-Man. Like, there's been a bunch of huge stuff that's happened. Aunt May got married and stuff. And
again,
like,
that was years ago now at this point.
Peter got this huge job and everything. Like, no, it's I would argue they have been very daring with what they've been doing. And they keep changing the status quo. And that, I can see how it might piss some people off. Because the status quo keeps changing and changing and changing.
I think they keep changing the status quo. And changing the status quo is not exactly the same thing as keeping it fresh.
I don't know. I have fun with it every month.
They keep getting farther and farther away from Spider-Man. And again, I am not the sort of fan that says you got to keep it the same forever.
Right.
But
except for when you want it the same forever.
No. I'm not that sort of person.
I know.
But like, I don't really have any drive to read Spider-Man anymore.
Okay.
It's just,
I think if you caught up on it, you would change your tune.
Maybe I would.
I've been reading it monthly and I love it. I still love it. I love Dan Slott on that book. I love what he does.
And I'm not even saying that it's a bad book.
And I will say,
I'm saying that Dan Slott has been writing that book for years.
He's been writing
now.
It a long time, but I don't think anybody has a better hold on Peter Parker.
Well, how would we know?
I suppose that's true, but man, even though the status quo changes and there's drastic, huge changes in the book, it's still the Peter that I love. And it's still the Peter that I recognize. And I don't think he's ever lost sight of that. Like, it doesn't feel like a different Peter. It doesn't feel like a different character. It feels like a natural progression for where he's taking this character.
But I love it. Part of me also feels like he keeps finding excuses to make other characters the focus of the book, like Prowler. It's one thing to have a guest star.
Prowler is the focus of the book.
He runs around dressed as Spider-Man.
Yeah, because he's supposed to be like his bodyguard.
Mm.
It's great. It's super fun. Mm. It's been great.
I'm going to get caught up, but
you catch up. Well, you catch up and then you can talk.
Like, I have loved the Dan Slott run. I'm not taking anything away from it. Yeah. I have enjoyed it all the way up to the point where I fell off.
I just trust dude implicitly.
But if Marvel were to say we found Dan Slott's moving on and we're injecting some new blood into the Spider-Man universe, I would be okay with it.
All right. Whatever. I still have fun every month. I get it.
Well, there's something to be said for quitting while you're ahead.
Why? It's still like
don't
it.
Don't overstay your
I'm
welcome.
Not gonna stop now.
don't write the book until seeing your name on it again becomes a hassle. That's what happened to me with Bendis and the Avengers books.
I just don't think it's gotten there yet. I don't know. I mean,
it's been
really
like 30 years, Matt.
Yeah, it's been 30 years.
Cleon was the final caller.
No, Randy Andrews.
Randy is answering this week's question.
Oh, Cleon was our final caller. Yeah. I'm sorry. I was all excited to play Randy, but he's answering next week's question.
Yeah, you'll have to wait.
Yeah, we'll have to wait for him. That was great. Everybody had really good answers. I'm not going to hand out a best because they were all really good. And they all brought up different points. I think the best point that was brought up was Ketnerd.
Yes, and I also really liked, I believe it was Paul, who talked about the Fantastic
Four.
Yeah,
that was really good too. And Cleon. Also, who we just discussed.
Yeah.
Like, if you're not having fun with it, stop. Just stop. This stuff doesn't own you. You own this stuff.
Yeah.
Speaking of which,
hey,
what title can't you quit? What title do you read every month?
Whether you
like it or not.
For me, the title's not going at the moment, but we kind of talked about it. We touched on it last week.
Okay.
When we talked about when we did the big news. For me, it's those goddamn New Warriors.
Of course.
Every time they keep getting my hopes up.
You've had to suffer for a long time.
They trot the New Warriors back out, and I'm like, oh, they're back.
How much longer must Joe Patrick suffer?
And then it comes out, and it's garbage.
Yep.
And it's not always garbage, to be fair.
Mm.
No, it's not. It's not.
It has been for a long time.
No, the last one was pretty decent. I forget who wrote it, but Marcus Toe did the art.
Did you finish it? Did you read the whole thing?
I didn't. No, but well, that is not. That
must have been great.
No. That is also something I want to say because by virtue of doing this podcast.
Right.
I find it much easier to get behind on things.
Sure.
Because we're trying to make sure that we do a variety of books.
And we read a bunch of other stuff.
And there's not a lot of time in the week to sit down and just plow through, you know,
right.
20 issues of Spider-Man.
Sure.
So New Warriors was one of the books that I, in the most recent launch, I read for a little bit and then fell behind. I enjoyed it though. And they inevitably get canceled.
Yeah.
And sometimes they bring them back and it's Scotty Young's reality television.
Ugh.
You know, and that book has its fans, but that wasn't the New Warriors to me. And then they used them as a punchline and then they used them as the catalyst for the Civil War.
Yeah.
And those characters took literally 10 years to recover.
Pretty much. Some of them are still dead, right?
I think so.
Namorita, she never came back, did she?
No, Namorita came back, I think.
Did she? Was that when Namora came back?
No, Namora is not one of the New Warriors. She's one of the Agents of Atlas.
Yeah, but Namora came back. Did Namorita come back?
I think Namorita did come back.
I don't remember her popping back up. Because they killed her in that.
The books come and go so quick.
Yeah.
Night
Thrasher showed up in the last Contest of Champions book. It
right.
was great. I don't give a crap about Night Thrasher, but it was great.
So you had that version, and that was just a mini series, and the New Warriors were broken for a long time. And then they brought him back, and I got all excited, but they weren't really the New Warriors. It was that weird assemblage of old ex-mutants, depowered mutants from M-Day.
Yeah.
That had like stolen supervillain technology and adopted new identities.
Right.
I think Chamber was one of them for a while.
I think you're right.
It was written by the guy that created the Underworld movies.
Oh, God.
He's the main werewolf. He also is like the main big badass werewolf.
Yeah. I think I remember talking about this.
Yeah. And he brought back those. He wrote that series of New Warriors.
Right.
And again, it was New Warriors in name only. And then it got canceled.
Yeah.
And then they actually.
That's what they do.
Right. And then they brought back the most recent version and it had friggin' Speedball in it. And it had Justice, a.k.a. Marvel Boy.
And now you might get it with Squirrel Girl, huh?
And now they're doing this comedy TV show with Squirrel Girl. All I want is a good New Warriors comic.
I wouldn't hold
is
your
that
breath.
Too much
I
to
wouldn't
ask?
Hold your breath, buddy. Sorry. Sorry about that.
What do you got?
Mine's Moon Knight.
Yeah.
Matter what you put out for Moon Knight. And I've been lucky lately. The past couple of Moon Knight series have been excellent. They've been really, really good. It's been a long time since we had an excellent Moon Knight. And I read through that entire Charlie Hudson series.
Well, it hasn't been a really long time. There was Warren Ellis's Moon Knight, and then Brian Wood took it over.
Before that. I'm saying before any of that stuff, where like we had this like wonderful return of Moon Knight that I'm so thrilled for. Because I got so tired of reading bad Moon Knight comics.
Yeah, it was rough.
I love Moon Knight. And whenever you put Moon Knight in anything, if stick him in another book, I'm going to pick it up and I'm going to read it. Because I love that character. Always love that character. Daredevil's another one that I read every month. I don't love what's happening to Daredevil right now.
I stopped.
It's serviceable. It's perfectly good. I just don't think it's what Charles Soule is best at. I'm starting to wonder what he's best at anymore.
Man, yeah. I
but Moon Knight. You
I
put out a Moon Knight comic.
I haven't followed a Charles Soule book in a long time.
And I'm in. And I don't care where he pops up. I've got some lame Moon Knight guest star issues in my collection. So, but yeah, you'll get me every time just because I love the character so much. This was a fun one.
Yeah, it was good.
And at heart, yeah, we all fall in love with these characters and we live and die with them. And sometimes we feel like we owe it to them just to pick up their stupid book. And we don't. Yeah. We don't. They don't even exist, okay?
Right, but the books, yeah. I mean, it's kind of a tough position because right. If you don't support the books
the book
won't
goes
continue.
Away. Yes.
If they don't think the characters are popular, they're not going
to
bring them back.
But sometimes you have to. Sometimes you have to punish the book.
But you
got to
do what's
it.
Best for you. You right. Can't say, man, what can I do to show my support for this multi-billion-dollar conglomerate?
Start a podcast.
There you go.
There you go. That way you can vote with your foot when they put out crappy New Warriors comics. It's like, nope, I'm not paying for that. This is a fun question. Thank you, everyone who called in. New guy, Bozo. He was great. I expect to hear from you again. He already nicknamed himself. He can have it. I love it. Calling himself Bozo. That's great.
All right.
That's great. What's our new question?
The new question comes from D. Murray. All he wants to know is, who do you think is the funniest character in comic books?
Comic book funny guys. I like them.
And it doesn't have to be, I'm saying it doesn't have to be a character from like a quote-unquote comedy comic.
No, just a character you find the funniest.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe it's the way they deliver a certain line. Like every time Hellboy goes, oh.
Right.
You love that. I love it. It's great.
Who doesn't love it?
Yeah. Funny comic guys. I want to hear from you. And I want to hear from you. I know you're sitting there and you're called out. You're like, man, I don't know. I'm not that funny. Whatever. All in. I want to hear from you. Ladies, where the hell are you? It's been a sausage festival. Right? Disgusting. Come on. Call us. We're going to have another new episode of Two-Headed Nerd coming up this weekend. What's our, what do we do this week? What's our segment? It's either Ask a Nerd or Comic Book.
Yeah, it'll be one of those.
Yeah, yeah. Ask a Nerd or Comic Book. Just come out
this week. It'll be second week.
Yeah.
Second.
Yeah, so Ask a Nerd or Comic Butcher. So you got some time to get us something if you want. Go to the forums, post in there, shoot us a message. Use that same phone number or MP3, or send us an MP3 at our email address.
Alec Baldwin's going to do all of these things that you just said you weren't going
to
describe.
I'm not describing. He's going to tell me how to do it. But you can get on this damn show. It'll be fun. In the meantime, thank you again to everybody who called in. If you're thinking about calling, just do it. Don't be weird. For now, though, this is the Two-Headed Nerd.
No one, and I mean no one, loves the New Warriors. I don't even believe that Joe does. What is there to love? Speedball. Seriously. Come on, Joe. The Great Lakes Avengers probably have had a better last 10 years. If you'd like to answer the question of the week, you can leave Joe and Matt a message at 402-819-4894. Send your MP3 answer to twoheadednerd@gmail.com or leave a Skype message for the username twoheadednerd. share the air and keep your answer under 2 minutes, please. Don't even get me started on Night Thrasher.